Columbia brings you Romance.
My name is Romance, forever young, forever yours. I live in the tender love stories of today and in the nostalgic love stories of the past. I speak to the lover in all of you, signing myself from the heart. Tonight I'll bring you the famous old play, Daddy Long Legs, by Gene Webster, starring Florence Williams and Myron McCormick. It was first performed way back in 1914. It's a romantic story of a gentle, gracious time that has vanished. An era when wealthy gentlemen still wore frock coats and high silk hats. And when poor young girls dreamed of gallant suitors who would come and take them away forever from ugliness and cruelty. Our story begins in a proper setting. A grim, bleak building of gray stone, an orphan asylum. Into this dreary institution one day came Prince Charming. Of course, he didn't know he was Prince Charming. He thought he was Jarvis Pendleton, a trustee of the orphanage. But he very soon discovered otherwise.
Jarvis, I hate always to be begging, but there's one of the children here for whom I should so love to manage a future.
Playing Lady Bountiful again, Edith? Is that why you brought me here?
Yes. This one's a girl, Jarvis, and such a pretty one.
A girl? Oh, no, no. I let you persuade me to send a couple of boy orphans off to school, but I'm not going to get tangled up with any squally little girls.
Well, she's not exactly squally. Oh, little, as a matter of fact.
I know. She has a good record.
She has the worst record of any child in the orphanage.
What? Not really.
She's disobedient and impertinent.
Just what is it you want me to do for this pretty, disobedient, impertinent young person?
I want you to send her to college.
College? From the John Grier Orphan's home? Why, you're out of your mind. How old is she?
She's 18.
I thought they only kept them here until they were 14.
Judy Abbott was so unusually bright that Miss Lifford let us stay on and take care of the younger orphans. She's done remarkably well work in English at the village school. Her teachers say that she would make an author if she had the training.
Oh, no, no, I'm not going to wish that on the world. There are too many authors in it now for my taste.
You may be keeping down a genius.
No one keeps down a genius. She'd have been out of here long before this if she were one.
But she's only 18.
I'm sorry, I'm not interested.
But Jarvis...
We all have a right to our prejudices. Now, I happen not to like girls. I never did and never will.
Oh, you're impossible.
Besides, suppose I did send this girl, this Judy, to college. Do you think she'd have a chance there? Do you think those college girls would take in a little outsider from an orphan asylum? I'd only be using my money to show her a life beyond her wildest dreams and then forbid her to enter it.
Jarvis, you could wave a wand and give her the whole world.
No, no, no. Society's thrown away your little Judy, and it's too late to pick up the pieces. Why are you looking at me like that?
Just a little disappointed, that's all. I thought you were such a different man. Jarvis... Will you do me one favor?
Oh, what is it?
Will you just look at her?
Very well, I'll look at her, but I won't talk to her.
Come along. I'll point her out to you.
Judy, Judy, come on, tell us a story. Tell us Noah's Ark. Tell us about the three bears.
No, tell us one of the stories you make up yourself.
Some other time, children, please. Judy's so tired now. But this is the first time I've had a minute to myself since 5 o'clock this morning.
Then draw us a picture. And the blackboard.
Here's the chalk.
Well, just one, then. What shall I draw?
An elephant. A circus.
No, a trustee. One of those funny old ones who comes around for a visit and walks around like this. This won't do, Mrs. Lippett. This floor must be scrubbed.
All right. Now, there's his body, and there's his head.
Where's his gold watch chain?
There it is.
He looks just like an old June bug. Which one is it?
It's a portrait of any trustee.
Jerusha Abbott.
Oh, no, I've done it this time.
What is the meaning of this, Jerusha?
I heard what you said. Portrait of any trustee. Do you infer that I look like that?
Oh, no, Mr. Wyckoff. It's only a picture. I just did it to amuse the children.
To amuse the children? Mrs. Lippett, is this the kind of respect you teach?
How dare you make fun of a trustee of the John Grier home? Why, this home has given you every mouthful you ever ate. Well, I'll tell you this, Miss Jerusha Abbott. You'll be leaving here next month. You'll be put to work.
I'll be happy to go. Any place, anywhere will be better than this.
Why, you ungrateful wretched...
Ungrateful? What have I got to be grateful for? I've always earned my living here. I've worked from the time I was a tiny child. Polished doorknobs, scrubbed floors, and taken care of the children. You haven't kept me here because you like me. You've kept me because it was cheaper than hiring someone else.
Why?
When I was 11 years old, someone wanted to adopt me. And you made her take another child because I was so useful. You didn't know I knew that, did you? Well, I'm glad to go. I don't care how hard it will be. I can make my way in the world. And thank you for that, I suppose. I know how to work. I've lived for 18 years in prison.
What?
I hate the John Grier Orphan Home.
Well, did the rest of you hear that?
Her voice carried into the hall very nicely. You know, I don't know when I've had such an entertaining afternoon.
Oh, Mr. Pendleton, to think this should happen the day you came.
Edith, was that the girl you were telling me about, the one you wanted me to look at?
Yes.
Well, then I'll do it. I'll send her to college. I only saw the back of her head, but I like her.
Mr. Pendleton, you can't be serious. Well, you couldn't possibly do such a thing.
You know, Mrs. Levitt, I think I know just what that girl meant about you. You're an old witch.
Mr. Pendleton!
Now, mind you, she's never to know who's doing it.
But she'll want to thank you.
Well, she can't. I won't have it. She's had to thank someone for every mouthful she ever ate. I wonder she didn't choke. She can go to college with my sister's girls.
Then you'll keep an eye on her progress?
From a distance. The faculty can let me know how she's coming along.
Well, college doesn't do that. They only send marks and grades.
Well, she can write me a letter on the first of every month telling me about herself, just the way she'd write to her parents if she had any.
She'll have to know your name.
Oh, tell her it's Smith, John Smith. Yeah, she can address her letters to Mr. John Smith in care of my secretary. You can buy her some clothes and try to help her forget the word orphan. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to go out and buy some cigars.
Cigars? What on earth for?
Well, I've just become a father. Well, I'll be hanged if I'm going to miss any of the traditions that go with that situation.
You mean I'm going to college just like any other girl? Who has a real father and mother?
Yes, my dear, you are.
Oh, I just can't believe it. Sounds like one of the fairy stories I make up for the children. Oh, Miss Pritchard, you've got to tell me who he is.
He's no one you know.
But he was here today. He was one of the visitors. Oh, I wish I could see him. I'd like to say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true. He must be quite old to be so understanding. Where is he now?
He's outside, waiting for his carriage. It's too dark for you to see his face. But look, see on the building there? That's his shadow.
Well, I've never had even the shadow of a father before. He's very tall, isn't he? I didn't know trustees ever had such long legs. I think I have a name for him, Miss Pritchard.
Yes? What is it?
I'm going to call him Daddy Longlegs.
Do you know, Edith, I believe I shall go down to the college and pay my nieces a visit.
Why don't you? You can see your ward, Judy, too, while you're at it.
Well, I guess I shall have to, since they're rooming together.
Oh, Judy, this is my Uncle Jarvis, Mr. Pendleton, Miss Abbott.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do, Judy?
Oh, isn't this exciting? I've never been to a football game before in my life. You think Yale will win? I don't think I can stand it if they lose. Yale was your college, wasn't it, Mr. Pendleton?
Oh, yes, it was. I thought we'd agreed you to call me Jarvis.
Oh, Jarvis? Well, did you bring girls to the games when you went to Yale?
No, I never liked girls.
Oh, that's discouraging.
Oh, but then I never knew any like you, Judy.
That's better.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your dress.
You haven't danced very much, have you?
Well, I'm going to tell you a secret. I've never danced before in my life.
Oh, you don't mean it. I never would have guessed. Jarvis, stop the canoe, will you? I'd like to just look at the lake for a moment.
All right.
Listen to that piece they're playing at the hotel across the water. That's a love song, Jarvis.
Is it?
Have you ever been in love?
No. Have you?
No, not until now. Jarvis, I'm in love with you.
What?
Sorry, I guess that was the wrong thing to say, wasn't it?
Well, it was a sweet thing to say, Judy. I shall always remember it. It makes me feel quite young.
But you're not old, Jarvis.
I'm old enough to be your father. Well, perhaps we should start back. It's getting chilly. I want to get to bed early tonight. I have a train to catch in the morning.
You didn't tell me you were going back in the morning. You didn't tell me. Well?
What do you mean, well?
How did you like her? After all, you must have found her changed. She's been at school a year.
Well, she has the same mass of hair, the same pug nose.
I suppose you'll be going up soon again?
Oh, no, that won't be necessary for a while. She's a very conscientious letter writer, isn't she? There's 19 letters here for me to catch up on.
What kind of letters does she write?
Shocking letters.
I don't believe it.
She makes love to me.
That's ridiculous. The child thinks you're her father.
The child knows perfectly well that I'm not her father.
She thinks you're an old man.
I'm not an old man. I won't be treated like an old man.
Oh, Jarvis.
What's so funny?
You are. Why, you poor darling. You're in love with a girl.
That's ridiculous. She's a baby.
Oh, come now. You're talking to an old friend, remember?
I'm not in love with her. Will you stop hopping on that subject? My interest is purely fatherly.
Oh, it's the funniest thing I ever heard of. The confirmed bachelor. Oh, Jarvis.
You're developing into a very annoying woman. What are the ideas? It's fantastic. Never heard of such nonsense. But I'll tell you one thing. She's a very attractive girl.
Oh, darling, you don't have to tell me. It's written all over your face.
Judy Abbott.
Yes? Why, Jarvis. Jarvis, how long have you been here? Oh, this is Jimmy. Jimmy McBride, Mr. Pendleton.
Hello. How do you do, sir?
Jimmy came up to take me to the sophomore dance tonight. He's a wonderful dancer.
You're quite a turkey trotter yourself, Jude.
Oh.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, sorry, sir. That just means she's pretty good. Suppose I go over to the hotel and change, Judy.
All right.
Will you be ready at 7?
Exactly at 7.
Good. Glad to have met you, sir.
Thank you.
So long.
Well, Judy, you're looking fit.
Thank you. So are you. See, I haven't seen you since my freshman year when I scared you out of my life.
Let's walk a bit. Have you time?
Certainly.
Tell me, have you learned anything here?
Have I learned anything? The area of the convex surface of the frustum of a regular pyramid is half the product of the sum of the perimeters of its bases by the altitude of either of its trapezoids.
That is truly impressive.
I've finished physiology. I know all about your insides. I hope you never touch alcohol, Jarvis. It does dreadful things to your liver.
Oh, I'll make a note of that.
Did you know that we used to be monkeys?
I've heard rumors.
Of course, the Pendletons must be descended from very superior monkeys with beautiful silky hair and extra long tails.
Did you gather that from my nieces or from me?
Well, you all had the manner born.
Are you happy, Judy?
Why, yes, of course. Are you?
Naturally. Why do you ask?
You asked first. It seemed the polite response.
That's a pretty dress you're wearing.
I'm glad you like it. It's a present from Daddy Longlegs.
What sort of man is that guardian of yours?
Well, he's sort of tall and skinny. He's getting a little shaky now and has to walk with a cane. Mm-hmm. He's bald up here, but he has a nice fringe of white hair all around here. And I love him more than anything else in the whole world.
That must make him very happy.
He doesn't know it. I wouldn't tell him to his face. That would spoil him. But when I get through college, I'm going to live with him.
You are? Does he want you to?
Well, not now, but he will when he knows me better.
Well, maybe you'll change your mind when you know him better.
No, no, I won't. I have it all planned. I'm going to read out loud to him, plump up his pillow and warm his slippers and wrap up his throat with flannel and camphorated oil.
Hmm. Does he ever come to see you? No, why not?
He doesn't care anything about me, really. I just pretend he does. You see, you have to love someone, and, well, he's all I have, so I make believe he cares.
Well, maybe he does care more than you think.
I write to him all the time, but he doesn't even read my letters.
I think you're wrong there. I bet he keeps them tied together with a piece of red tape and locked in a drawer of his desk. And winter evenings, when he's all alone in his dark library, he gets them out and reads them over. Then he sits and looks in the fire and wonders what little Judy is doing and wishes she were there to talk to him.
You know how to pretend, too, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I know how to pretend, too.
Jarvis, do you think it would be fair to Daddy Longlegs if, after being educated to be a writer, I should give it up and marry someone instead?
No, I do not.
Oh, just thought I'd get your opinion. Well, I've got to be getting back now. Jimmy will be waiting.
He seems to be a singularly uninteresting young man.
Oh, he's not at all. He's really very attractive. He dances well and talks well. He's fun to be with. Who knows, I might even marry him.
That, of course, is your privilege. Here's your dormitory. Good afternoon, Judy. I hope I see you again one of these days.
Good afternoon. Of course, I might not marry him if I should meet someone else.
That's a completely feminine problem.
Of course, I might be an old maid, like you.
I am not an old maid, Judy.
Well, it all adds up to the same kind of life. Do you like being a bachelor, Jarvis?
I find many things in its favor.
Well, there are lots of things in favor of marriage, too.
You'd better be getting dressed. It's almost dark. Young McBride will be arriving.
You know something, Jarvis?
What?
It's my birthday. And where I come from, people usually get kissed on their birthday. For luck, you know. I wonder if you'd mind.
Mind? Why, no, of course not.
It was just as nice as I thought it would be. It was nicer than you intended, wasn't it, Jarvis?
Now, wait a moment. Are you sure this is your birthday?
Well, I had to pick a day sometime, hadn't I? And today seemed a pretty good day all of a sudden. It was what was kind of an inspiration.
You're a designing woman.
I know. Isn't it horrible?
Well, good night, Judy.
Jarvis, must you always run away? We're just beginning to get acquainted again.
The old must make way for the young, my dear, and tonight belongs to Jimmy McBride. Good night.
Oh, hang Jimmy McBride.
Hello, Judy. Did you catch any fish?
Not a one. But I had a lovely day. I adore summer vacations. Wonderful up here in the mountains, isn't it?
Oh, it's all right. Judy, what's wrong?
Wrong? Nothing. Why do you ask?
You've been all out of sorts for the last few weeks. Ever since that weekend Jarvis was here, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you're imagining things.
I've been reading your book. It's a good book. Should be quite a success. I know a publisher you can send it to when it's finished.
Thanks, Julia.
Of course, I don't think any orphan asylum could be as bad as the one you describe.
No, but they can be, Julia. I want to tell you the truth. I'm tired of pretending to be something I'm not. I don't belong with you and Sally and the other girls who have homes and families at all, you see. I grew up in an orphan asylum. There, now you know.
Well, that's nothing to feel ashamed of. It doesn't make the slightest difference to me.
Maybe not to you, but to others it does. Would to your mother and to your uncle.
That's silly.
Is it? Jarvis hasn't come back since that weekend he came up the beginning of the summer, has he?
Oh, Judy, so that's it. Well, I'll tell you something. He's coming up this afternoon. I didn't tell you. I wanted to surprise you. Oh, you're wrong about Jarvis. It wouldn't make any difference in the world to him.
No, but it would. It has. You see, I told him, Julia.
What did he say?
Nothing. Just that he was very sorry I'd had so hard a time.
Jarvis is a horrible snob sometimes.
Isn't he, though? Well, better change as long as we're having company.
You're in love with him, aren't you, Judy?
I'll get over it. Put my mind to it. Hello, Jarvis. I didn't know you played.
Well, hello, Judy. Do you remember this piece?
I can't say I do. It's quite old, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a love song.
Oh.
It starts out... If I wore a tulip, a big yellow tulip, and you wore a red, red rose. Do you remember now?
Yes, vaguely.
Judy, I came up today to ask you something.
Yes?
I have a little speech to make. Now, I realize that I must appear quite antiquated to your tender years. But once when you were even younger, you said you loved me. Well, have you forgotten?
No. I haven't forgotten.
I wasn't very polite about it, I'm afraid. You see, I'd planned my life very carefully, and there was no place for any woman in it. And when you said that, I suddenly wanted to change that whole life I'd planned. But everything that I thought was sensible kept saying, don't be a fool, she's too young to know what she wants, and you're too old to change.
Jarvis.
And I thought, how far a life that has already been half lived when she's on the threshold of hers. And yet, I love you. So I must offer it. Will you marry me, Judy? Will you accept my name and my heart?
Jarvis, I'm very sorry.
Well, that's all right, Judy. Don't be sorry.
It was sweet of you to offer. Considering that you knew all about me and everything. And very kind of you to offer your name. Would give me a sound place in the world. But I can't accept it.
You don't love me, Judy. That's it, isn't it?
I shall always cherish your friendship, Jarvis. And your kindness.
All right, Judy. I understand.
In heaven's name, Jarvis, will you quit that pacing?
Why don't you go home, Edith? I feel like pacing.
You love her very much, don't you?
Yes, but I'll get over it. I'll get over it.
Well, don't be in such a hurry. Take your time getting over it. Judy, why did you refuse Jarvis? You love him, don't you?
He was offering to marry me out of pity.
I don't think that's true.
I do. You see, I told him a long time ago how I felt. He didn't pay any attention. But when I told him about the orphan asylum, he was sympathetic. He went home, thought it over, and offered to marry me.
My dear Judy, No man in the world is as unselfish as that. If he offers to sacrifice himself for a woman, you can be sure he's enjoying it.
Jarvis isn't like any other man.
Judy, pack a bag. I want you to come back with me. I think it's time you met your daddy Longlegs. He's the one man in the world who can help you straighten this thing out.
Hello. I came to see Mr. Smith. Has Miss Pritchard arrived yet?
Oh, yes, miss. Come in. Miss Pritchard's in the library, miss.
How's the old gentleman?
The old gentleman?
Mr. Smith.
Oh, Mr. Smith is well, miss.
Judy, dear, you're late. I've been here half an hour.
I had to have a new dress. How do I look?
Perfectly beautiful.
Where is he?
Well, Judy, if you'll walk over and open that door, you'll find your daddy Longlegs on the other side of it. I didn't tell him you were coming. I wanted to surprise him.
Well, just open the door. He might not like that.
But he will. I promise you he will. Go on, Judy.
Well, all right. Shouldn't I knock?
No. Just open the door.
Oh.
Judy. Hello, darling.
What are you doing here?
I live here. And if you will marry me, you can live here, too. I wouldn't dare invite you to live here unless you will marry me. I'm not that old and you're not that young. People would talk.
Jarvis, we've been all over that.
I have a letter there that you wrote to Daddy Longlegs in which you've written down why you refused me before. I'm glad you wrote it. Otherwise, I might never have known. How could you be so silly as to think it would matter to me what sort of background you came from?
Those are all my letters on the desk. How did you get them?
You sent them to me.
I sent them to Daddy Longlegs. Oh, Jarvis.
You said you were going to take care of me. You know, the camphor and the flannel mufflers and the rest. I intend to hold you to your word.
Oh, Jarvis. I love you very much.
And I love you, my dear. And will forever.
The curtain has fallen on Daddy Longlegs, but though the play is over, I do not leave you. I linger in your memory to return next week to quicken your hearts with another great love story. The play that shall speak for me then is Rupert of Hensau by Anthony Hope. Till then, till curtain time next week, I wish you love and happiness. My name is Romance.
You've been listening to Romance, a program produced each week by Columbia to bring you the most romantic plays and love stories of all time. The play tonight was an old favorite, Daddy Longlegs, by Gene Webster. The play was adapted for radio by Gene Holloway with script supervision by Albert R. Perkins. It was directed by Mark Loeb and the music was conducted by Charles Paul. The part of Judy Abbott was played by Florence Williams, with Myron McCormick as Jarvis and Gladys Thornton as Miss Pritchard. Listen next week at the same time when we'll bring you our next great romance, Rupert of Hensau. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.